Take a seat, everyone. Thanks, Eden. Thanks, band. It's wonderful. Just been really moved by who we are as the body of Christ in the last couple of weeks. And even during the worship, just... thank you. Just really moved by who we are. And I encourage you, I know sometimes when we're worshipping, it's great to stand on our own and just sort of stare into the heavens and soak it in. But also, there's something even more dynamic, maybe it's an even greater level when we worship together. And I encourage you that when we worship sometimes, just to look around you and appreciate who we are as a body, who we are as a church. Because there's something really special about the church, isn't there? There's something different about the church. You know, there's lots of scriptures to talk about when we pray, you know, when two or more are gathered. There's something significant about that. And so when we're worshipping, there's something of an extra dynamic about the kingdom that's present. And that's something that's really been impressing on me the last couple of weeks. Partly because one of the subjects that I preached on, I think it was last week or the week before, was on loving one another. And that call to love one another. And the kingdom of God is expressed in that. That's how we're known. That's how... people will know that we're Jesus' disciples because we love one another. That's how the kingdom is expressed in us. And so there's something really powerful about us as a body. And when we worship together, just encourage you to sometimes open your eyes, look around you, and bless one another. And what I want to really talk about tonight is... how we can do that through the Holy Spirit, how we can bless one another. And the fact that the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us are for one another. They're for us as a church, as a body. I want to look at a well-known passage, if Ed can find it. Thank you. It's in 1 Corinthians, and it's chapter 12. Great, thank you. It's a really well-known passage. It's normally well-known because of the list. People use it to refer to the list of gifts, and it's one of a few gifts. And if it's all right, I think what I'm going to do is maybe teach for about 15 minutes, and then let's make it a bit more practical. Bit like Keith did last week. And Keith was great last week. He talked about who the Holy Spirit is. So what I want to do really is to talk about spiritual gifts. And what Paul means when he writes this letter to the Corinthians. Now, just to put it into a little bit of perspective, it's the 12th chapter of this letter. So Paul has talked quite a lot already to the Corinthian church. He's talked a lot about the Corinthians and their attitude to worship, the context of worship. And he's had a go at them for most of the letter. He's had a go at them for wearing head coverings and for shouting out in the middle of services, for worshipping in foreign temples. So he's had quite a lot to moan about. But then he comes to a point where he starts talking about spiritual gifts. And the reason he's doing that is because he wants them to have the right attitude to spiritual gifts. So this chapter starts, verse 1, it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts," that's just before this. "Now concerning spiritual gifts, I do not want you to be uninformed," or ignorant, it says in some translations. He doesn't want us to be uninformed about spiritual gifts. He doesn't want to be ignorant. He wants us to know the purpose for the spiritual gifts. And in this very short sort of 9 verses, he talks about a whole variety of gifts. A whole variety of gifts, not just speaking in tongues. And he's making a point, because I think the Corinthians got obsessed with speaking in tongues. It was like the biggest thing to them. And during their services, there were particular people that used to like to speak in tongues really loudly so everyone could hear how amazing they were at it, how proficient they were at it. And you can imagine how others felt who couldn't speak in tongues. So part of this message from Paul is outlining the place of spiritual gifts and the place of tongues within that. So he's communicating about the variety. That's the main point of this. There's a massive variety. There are varieties of gifts. But he's saying that God is communicating through all of them, through all of those gifts. So there's a variety of gifts. Some of them are intellectual gifts. Some of them are, as you can see, I need the clicker actually. Where's the clicker? So you can see in verse 8, it's the start of the list, and it talks about the utterance of wisdom and knowledge. And they're gifts about being clever, really. Bearing in mind he's talking to the Greeks. Greeks liked being clever. They liked being intelligent. And so that would have pleased them that Paul is starting with a gift about wisdom and gifts about knowledge. But then he talks about others, and he talks about gifts of healing and miracles and prophecy and discernment of spirits. And those can be grouped together effectively as a group of gifts of faith. We'll talk about those in a minute. And then there's a third group, which are gifts of tongues and interpretation of tongues. So when we look at this list, and it's not an exhaustive list, because Paul has other places where he talks about gifts of the Holy Spirit, and some of these are in those lists, and some other things are in those lists. So what we mustn't do is see this as a list of things to tick off, thinking, yeah, I've got that one, I've got that one, oh, I'd like that one, and so on. Because it's not an exhaustive list. The other thing is that there's not a specific order, because if you look at Paul's gifts, lists, sometimes prophecy is first, sometimes it's last, sometimes it's in the middle. But there might be a reason why he puts tongues last in this list, and maybe we'll look at that in a minute. So I want to suggest that the context of this list and this conversation is worship in the Corinthian church. So if you go back, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. Now, I don't know if it strikes you when you read that, but it speaks to me of the Trinity. I'll say it again, because it jumps out at me. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of services, but the same Lord Jesus. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them to everyone. So there's something of the unity of God just in those very few verses. It's, I would suggest, probably one of the earliest mentions of the Trinity in the whole Bible. And there's a whole debate whether Paul was Trinitarian or not, or whether Paul had a theology of the Trinity and so on. Let's not go into that. But I think it's interesting that here in this passage, Paul is talking about the activity of God, and there's something of the unity of God within this description. God is at work in all of the activity in the church. It's the same God behind everything, behind the gifts, behind the varieties of service and behind the varieties of activities. There's an interesting description of this. I quite like it. Quite a nice metaphor. So to get something done, what you need is a tool. You need a task. And you need the energy to carry out that task. So I might say, Maureen, can you go make me a cup of tea? I'm not going to say that. And so you need a tool, you need the tea and the tea bag. You need the task. Well, I've asked Maureen to do it, so I've given her a task. And you need the energy. Well, I guess you need to put the kettle on and get some electricity into the water to heat it up. But I want to suggest that maybe the gifts of the Holy Spirit are the tool. The gifts are the tool. They are the things that God has given us. The Holy Spirit has given us. And the task is the task that Jesus has given us. Jesus the Son. Jesus, to his disciples, said, go out and make disciples of all nations. So the task is the task of the Lord. And the energy is God himself, God the Father, God who puts energy into everything, the Creator God. I think that's quite a helpful way of thinking about gifts and thinking about how we serve. But the key is unity. The unity of the Godhead, but also the unity of the church. Spiritual gifts are not designed for superiority, not for playing spiritual power games. And the word that Paul uses for these gifts is charisma. It's where we get the word charismatic from. Charisma means grace. So these gifts have been given to us by the grace of God, by his grace. It's a unique word in the New Testament. I don't know if you're aware of it, but it only occurs 17 times in the whole of the New Testament. And Paul uses it 16 times. So it's pretty unique to Paul himself. Someone has described charismatic gifts as grace gifts. Gifts of grace. Now you could say they're given to us through the grace of God, but maybe we should even consider them to be gifts of grace that we give to one another, that we use them with grace ourselves. It's also interesting that this list is almost bookended by two phrases. So if you look at verse 7, it says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So these gifts are given for the common good. And they're given by the Spirit. And then at the end of that list, all these gifts are activated, given energy by one and the same Spirit, who allots or allocates to each of them individually, just as the Spirit chooses. There's another really interesting word that Paul uses. And he uses this word, symphoron. Symphoron. And it's where we get the word symphony from. It's interesting, isn't it? When in his description of the gift of the Holy Spirit, he uses the word symphony or symphoron. And so these gifts that we've been given for the church, for one another, are to be a symphony. They're not for us as individuals, they're for us to play together, as it were. Our spiritual life is to be played alongside one another. A symphony of gifts, a symphony of ministries. That's what the church is. That's what the church needs to be. And we know that because Paul then talks about the body. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. And so the idea is that we have many gifts, but there is one purpose, one body, to be played in symphony. It's also interesting that a lot of the gifts are gifts of the mouth or the tongue or of language. And again, I think Paul is making a point to those Corinthians that were so obsessed with speaking in tongues as the most important gift. He's maybe saying, well, hang on a minute, you can utter, notice the word utterance of wisdom. It's not just the knowledge of wisdom, or it's not just the gift of wisdom, it's the gift of the utterance of wisdom, and to another, the utterance of knowledge. And so this is a gift of speaking, just like speaking in tongues. I suggest that there is a difference between wisdom and knowledge, otherwise they wouldn't both be there. Most commentators agree that wisdom is sort of the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God, something eternal, as it were. Whereas knowledge is something that is already known, a fact that's already known. Often wisdom is associated with Jesus. Jesus is wisdom in some parts of the Old Testament. Wisdom is seen as something of the prophet, whereas a teacher has knowledge. So there is a difference between them. But as I say, they're both gifts which are gifts of speaking. They're spoken out. Faith can be spoken out. Prophecy is clearly spoken out, as is discernment of spirits. The other thing I wanted to draw out about the body is that these gifts are meant to be alongside one another in quite a few incidents. So if you think about speaking in tongues is not helpful to the body unless there is an interpretation of tongues. So there's a need for a witness. There is a need for somebody else to be present to have the interpretation of that tongue. And so on the whole, the purpose of tongues is not exclusive. And forgive me if I'm sounding like I'm saying there's only one use for these gifts. I'm not. I'm just saying the sort of, in terms of the body, when we share these gifts together, there's something extra. There's an extra dynamic in it. And so when we have tongues, we have interpretation of tongues. When we have prophecy, often you hear about prophetic words needing to be tested. Again, there's a need for that symphony. There's a need for a corporate sharing of that gift. Clearly, miracles are a bit odd if there's only one person in a room praying for their broken leg or something. You know, it happens, and I welcome you to do it. But when you pray for one another, there's extra power in them. And so when we pray for healing, when we have a healing meeting, obviously, there's the more people, the better. So these are gifts to be shared. They're gifts to be brought into the body. Let's just talk about tongues, as Paul seems to major on it later on. It's not that he's saying there's anything wrong with speaking in tongues. He's not having a go at those that speak in tongues. He wants, as I said right at the beginning, he wants us not to be ignorant. He wants us to put the speaking of tongues in the right context. Tongues can often be described, one commentator says, as ecstatic utterance. But there's a danger. If speaking in tongues is not done in the right way, it can cause division. And I think this is Paul's point. The whole letter is about unity. And if there is division in the church because of it, it needs to be addressed. And you can imagine a context in which someone is able to speak in tongues and someone who isn't. There's an opportunity for division. And yet the whole purpose of those tongues is to build up the church. I'm going to leave it there because I've got a lot of teaching on this and I'm aware that it's not what God wants to do. I was thinking about those people that I've met in my life who move in spiritual gifts the most powerfully. And Heidi Baker is one person that I've spent some time with. And I've briefly met, I don't want to suggest I'm best friends with, Jackie Pullinger. And those two women, to me, have exemplified this teaching, I think, of seeking God and seeking the Holy Spirit, not for themselves, not for their own personal gratification, although worship is wonderful, and please don't get me wrong, worship is great, and God wants us to be intimate with him. But when we are using spiritual gifts in the context of the body, there's something of an extra dynamic. And so someone like Heidi Baker, who has a ministry to the poor, when you see her worshipping and you see her praying and when you see her leading a meeting and seeking the Holy Spirit, it's incredible. Because you know that she is seeking the Holy Spirit for those around her. And it can be frustrating. If you've ever been to one of Heidi's meetings, you think she's never going to get to the point because most of the time she spends on her knees praying or wailing. And you might accuse her of almost being, just obsessed with worship herself. But she's not. She is seeking God for everyone else. She's speaking a word for those around her. And when you see her in the context of her work in Mozambique, totally sacrificially loving those around her, you get the point. You see why she's doing it. And the same with Jackie Pullinger. She, again, is someone who is chasing after God, but it's not for her. She's got an amazing ministry to those that are broken, those that are addicted, and she's seeking God on their behalf. So when we think about spiritual gifts, I want us to think, how can we seek God's Holy Spirit for one another? How can we seek spiritual gifts so that the body of Christ is built up? So that my neighbour is healed? So that I can hear a word for that person I know in my church who is looking for a new job? Because I really believe that the Holy Spirit will move so much more powerfully when we're seeking him for one another. Just as an example, 2 weeks ago when Bimbi and Anthony were stood here, and that wasn't that incredible when Mandy asked us to seek a word for Bimbi and Anthony, and almost everyone in the room had a word. Almost everyone. And I really feel that God was blessing that because we were seeking the Holy Spirit for someone else. We were seeking a word for them. And so, I want to encourage us in the last sort of 15 minutes or so to do that. To seek a word for someone else or to seek an encouragement for someone else. Because I know personally, when I've done that, when I've been with other people, I've felt the Holy Spirit much more strongly. I didn't speak in tongues until I got to university. And I used to be in my room praying fervently, Lord, I want to speak in tongues, I want to speak in tongues, I want to speak in tongues. Read lots of teaching on it, went to hear people speaking about it. Was never affected in that way, never had the gift of tongues, until some friends suggested that we get together and have a worship session. And I think I shared this, I don't remember when I shared it, but we were on a block of flats and there was a flat roof, and we went up to the roof and there was about 8 of us and we just prayed and worshipped on the roof, and we were actually just seeking God together as a group of people, just enjoying the presence of God. And I started speaking in tongues, and I wasn't there grinding my teeth thinking, God, I need this now. I was wanting the presence of God for each, we're just enjoying that, being the body of Christ. So can we do that? Eden, are you happy to sort of play something quietly? And I just want to encourage us to stand, and some of you might just want to quietly seek a word for someone else. Some of you might ask specifically for a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom from God. Some of you will know someone else's circumstances and might want to pray some encouragement into that. And please just always know that God always encourages. Words of knowledge are always an encouragement. That verse, I didn't read out. I'll paraphrase it. It says, you can't curse God by the Holy Spirit. You can only bless God. And so the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, it's always an encouragement. It's always to build up the body. And so a word of knowledge is never negative. And so if you sense something that you think, hang on a minute, does this sound negative? Then I suggest you don't share it. Mandy prepared some pictures for when she was speaking on prophecy a couple of weeks ago. And they're a really useful tool for seeking a prophetic word for one another. And it's just a tool, so they may not be useful. But I'm going to spread them out on the floor here. And I want to encourage you just to come up and have a look. And it may well be that one of these pictures just immediately draws you to it. God is saying something through that picture to you for someone else. And so if that's the case, I just encourage you to pick it up and just seek a word from God for that person. And when it's appropriate, if it's appropriate, go and share it with them. So I feel the Lord saying this. And it will be an encouragement, I promise you. So that's one way you can do it. The other is you maybe just want to worship. You may just want to enjoy the presence of God. But again, I want to encourage you to do it for the body. Even when we worship, do it for the body. Build up the church while you're doing it. And it is a blessing. It is a blessing when we sing. It's a blessing just being together, isn't it? So I encourage you just to seek God in any way. And there are many ways. And as I said, this is not an exclusive list. God blesses us. And the Holy Spirit moves in so many ways. Can't make a list of what the Holy Spirit does. So just be prepared to be surprised, but be expectant at the same time. So let's stand. And I'm going to put these out and just encourage you just to have the freedom to walk around. Oh, thank you. Have the freedom to walk around, enjoy the presence of God, but enjoy the presence of God amongst his people, because we're a body. And let's encourage one another.